It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Film lovers,
bless you.
Welcome to Film Sociology.
That was good. Man, I wish these cough buttons worked.
A film talk show here on WFYI HD2, The Point, WFYI.org. That was a sneeze, son. That was not a cough. If you have a question or a comment, like, what the hell's going on over there, email me at msoci@wfyi.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which you can check out at...
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The voice you just heard is a man who wants more NFL logos redesigned either by hipsters or English football clubs.
The football crests are really cool. Some of them are really cool.
You go to... do we know the page that's on?
No.
So anyway, if you go on the internet, because you don't have enough to do while listening to the show... Somebody has created not only NFL logos, the logos for every NFL team, as if done by hipsters, but you can also see, NFL team logos as if they were English football clubs. That's soccer for the Midwesterners out there. And the person whose phone rang on, we have an intro for him. You didn't know that was coming?
Well, I knew it was coming. I didn't know.
Here, let me try it again.
I thought they were going to.
And our guest today, who, by the way, I think it was 8:58 last night, Thursday.
Yep.
Because it happens. So he lives down the block from Tony Randall and Terry Garr. Thank you, fans of old Letterman, who know that. We have a guest.
Lawrence of Arabia. He's an English guy. He came to fight the Turkish.
Okay, Clark, right there. That's what I'm talking about. Lawrence of Arabia. Doesn't have any lyrics to it. Doesn't have any words.
What do you mean doesn't have lyrics?
It's music.
To it?
It's music.
Hey, I've seen the movie four times.
And there were no words to it.
What are you
There are no words to that. Did you hear what I was singing earlier?
Somewhere I know that somebody, I think, wrote lyrics to this song.
Did you hear what I was saying earlier?
That's Mike Ferry, ladies. Well, that's not Mike Ferry, but that's Mike Ferry's intro. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I got the sneeze out. That's good. I don't know. It just happened. So long. I don't know about you. Long weekend for the Socies. The former kids film correspondent Emma. No school today. They call it a teacher work day.
Oh yeah.
What?
In service.
I know they called it, yes, in service. Mm-hmm. But I think they deliberately did this since Monday is Martin Luther King Day. So you get a long weekend. So anyway, we get to do that. And tonight, and we're kind of jumping the gun a little bit, if you don't have any plans tonight, well, you have some now because you should go to the IMA this evening because the Soci family will be there at 7 o'clock. They're showing Father Goose.
Aw.
That's right.
Cary Grant.
Leslie Caron and bunch of kids. Now, if you take out the kids, that might be a fun film to direct. but the kids are there. But anyway, the Socies are going to be there. So Emma and I went to Some Like It Hot last week at the IMA as a part of their winter film series, and it was a good crowd, a lot of fun. So Cool. So here's your challenge, ladies and gentlemen. If you're listening to this show, first off, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Your pledged dollars at work. But if you come up to me during the show, well, not during the movie, don't be rude, but before or after, if you come up to me and say, Film Sociology, it's a real show, it's terrific, you will get a prize package courtesy of WFYI.
Cool.
And whatever's in the closet. So,
hey, we have pretty nice Lawrence Welk swag here.
That's so. Right. You,
that's right.
So, you, anyway, if you're listening and you see the Soucy family, tell us that it's a real show and it's terrific, and you get a prize. Thank you for listening. Okay. And by the way, I forgot to, Mikey, I forgot to court to, sorry, we're doing a little side note here on the show.
Yeah.
I forgot to respond to your last note. Yes, Mike Perry, those poor, poor children from Nova Scotia in Hobo with a Shotgun.
Oh, yes, those poor, poor children. Don't want to spoil it, but man,
well,
that was brutal.
Ladies and gentlemen, during the snowpocalypse, during Snowmageddon, during the people couldn't go to work because of snow, except for those that definitely had to be here at WFYI Studios. Anyway, I living out a little further east than the average bear, I didn't get the brunt of the snow as much as everybody in town. Emma only lost 2 days of school.
Mm-hmm.
However,
That's nice.
So it felt like an extra vacation because I wound up, you know, my schedule was rearranged and everything was fine. So it was just I guess they call it staycation today. I call it being a bum around the house for an extra week. But I did catch up and listen in its entirety and all the features and commentaries and all that goodness to Grindhouse.
Nice.
Machete.
Nice.
And Hobo with a Shotgun.
Those poor, poor babies.
Oh, and here's a bit of a shot. Now, Hobo with a Shotgun, for those who don't know, when Grindhouse came out, they put a, and don't worry, folks, we'll get to the Oscar stuff in a bit. They put in a contest whoever had the best kind of Grindhouse trailer, fake Grindhouse trailer mm-hmm. that they could make, that in it, there would be on every Canadian DVD release and Blu-ray release of Grindhouse. And I think it also went up, I think it was North America, I think it was also in the United States. Well, mm-hmm. Hobo and a Shotgun won, and it started a kind of like Machete, started to cause a bit of a stir, a bit of a whirlwind. And next thing you know, the producers are able to get tax money from Nova Scotia and from the country of Canada itself, two different tax breaks. And they were able to make Hobo with a Shotgun and talk Rutger Hauer into being in it.
God bless Canada.
Yes, God bless Canada. And of course, I listened. There's two commentaries, and there's a bunch of documentaries and interviews. And yeah, Rutger Hauer got the script while he was in South Africa working on a film, Skyped with the director, and decided to go for it. And not only saying, you know, he hasn't had a starring role in a film in quite a while. He's always been the bad guy or secondary. So, and apparently, Mr. Hauer's talents brought a little bit of more depth and heart. So just think about that film without some of the depth and heart of Rutger Hauer.
Ugh.
Yes. So, and the scene that we're not alluding to involves a school bus full of children and a flamethrower. It's
Yeah, you can fill in the blanks from there.
Because Rutger Hauer is the title character who comes into a extremely corrupt criminal small town in Nova Scotia, and the amount of violence in this film, well, it's an exploitation film, so yes. it is over the top, but there is one scene with the bus that's really over the top.
The kids pressing their faces against the windows. I still have nightmares.
Well, guess what? This was the scene that they fought to keep in the film from day one. And you have to give it to them for sticking to their shotguns, so to speak.
When you have a vision, man, you have to stick to it. But, man, I don't want to have their dreams.
Well, I don't think you have to. So, all right, so there's your – good. There's our Grindhouse Report of the Week here at Film Sociology. Opening in theaters today. Well, we have something that was not screened for the press called Devil's Due.
Gonna miss that one.
You're gonna miss a baby that's possibly a spawn of the devil.
Yep.
And that's not Rosemary's. And it's not a remake of Rosemary's, which apparently they're going to make.
That's the rumor.
Nice. Hope it's a good check, Zoe. That's all we say. Also, we have Ride Along with Ice Cube and Kevin Hart, which our colleague Chris Lloyd said is already in the early runnings for worst film of 2014.
Cool.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Apparently.
Well, I thought Kevin Hart rocked that Stallone and De Niro
movie. A grudge match?
Yeah.
Well, he gets to do a buddy cop movie with Ice Cube this time.
Yeah. I'm guessing the funniest scenes are already in the trailer.
Could be. So. It could be. We also have The Nut Job. Yeah. I checked with Emma. She's like, no. Well, Katherine Heigl's a voice on it, which means, of course, 3 months later, she will say that she hated working on this film.
Yeah.
Will Arnett, Katherine Heigl, Maya Rudolph, Liam Neeson. God, Neeson's got two animated features coming into 2014.
Oh, what's that one?
He's also in a Lego. His voice is
the Lego movie.
Oh, so,
even though it's got Batman in it, I don't think so.
Yeah. And of course, Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, because now Jack Ryan is even younger. It's played by Chris Pine. So we've gone from Alec Baldwin to Harrison Ford to Ben Affleck to Chris Pine.
He's like the Benjamin Button of spy thrillers.
I always remember, I think it was when Some of All Fears was coming out and somebody made the joke, next time it would be Haley Joel Osment. And he was considerably younger then.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
This is, of course, Chris Pine, Keira Knightley, Kevin Costner, and also playing the villain and directing, Kenneth Branagh. Or as he's now referred to, the director of Thor. Yeah, let's forget all the Shakespeare's. No, he's reevaluating it, or not reevaluating, but he's in a different phase of his directing career. So maybe he'll make another Shakespeare movie with a couple hits under his belt. More power to him.
We're going to take my mommy to see it because she's a big Jack Ryan fan.
No matter who's playing him?
No matter who's playing him.
Okay.
Although I think her favorite's Red October, I think. So I think she
likes
Baldwin.
But, with the Russian Scotsman.
But how can you hate Harrison Ford?
I guess not.
Not
really. So,
yeah.
So the other thing that happened this week that I think is probably bigger than all that is, of course, Wednesday, the Film Geeks Final Four started. The Academy Awards were announced.
Or in this case, the Final Nine.
The Final Nine, yes. That shows no signs of going away. So, Mike, since that sheet is closer to you than it is to me. No. Go ahead. Read off the nine Best Picture nominees.
In alphabetical order.
Yes, that's how they printed it on Oscars.com.
Nominated for Best Picture of the Year, American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, 12 Years a Slave, and The Wolf of Wall Street.
Okay.
That's not a bad list.
Not a bad. Now, of course, being a smart aleck, if this was, a regular year, I would say, which five would you put in?
Okay, I would put in American Hustle. I would put in Gravity. I would put in 12 Years a Slave. I would put in Nebraska. And I would put in Her.
I think I would do the same. Yeah. So good.
Thank you.
Good. That's good. Okay, Kobe.
Yes, sir.
This movie's obnoxious.
Yeah.
When this is in reference to when Kobe and his lovely wife went to go see Wolf of Wall Street, and an hour into the movie, she leaned over and whispered to Kobe, "This is obnoxious."
This is obnoxious, yeah. she was surprised that was nominated for Best Picture.
I haven't seen it yet. The running time's been kind of a deterrent to me. I mean, if I'm going to sit in a movie for 3 hours,
you don't notice it.
It better have a hobbit in it.
No, it doesn't have. It's funny you mention that because, and it doesn't have a dragon voiced by Benedict Cumberbatch, Oxford University. But I have not busted her chops in person yet on this. She knows it's coming, or did I? Anyway, when she says an hour into the film, this is obnoxious. It opens with a dwarf tossing. It opens with a dwarf in midair.
I would think. You see in the previews. You know what the subject is going to be watching the trailer.
Yes. Or is somebody wrote the somebody online, of course, did a redid the movie posters for what they really are, and somebody referred to Wall Street as Scarface for D-bags. And I thought that was, to quote Charles Barkley, that was good.
That's pretty good.
Dwarf tossing. Huh? Okay, I may reconsider.
Well, the thing about
that's the clincher.
That, forget everything else. I was going to tell you what makes it outstanding. I enjoyed it. I think it made my honorable mention. It is not Martin Scorsese's Wall Street. It's interesting that I think it takes the world of that and expands upon it. It shows the absurdity and the ridiculousness of money and power and excess that these guys
had.
And
it does so very well.
It does so very well. Directed by a 71-year-old man, by the way. So we old folks are doing something. We
Yeah, you as a collective group.
Me as a collective group. So, but it's yeah, it dulls your senses in a good way. And yeah, I didn't feel the length of the film at all.
No.
So.
Okay.
But yeah, I would say give it a shot. And it's interesting because now I was talking with Stacey Sudeville, and of course one of the things that happens with the Oscars is there is now a little bit for a lot of members of the public, there's now a sense of, ooh, I should go check that out because it has a little bit of recognition. Golden Globes does that a little bit, but this is what really brings the bucks in. Of course, this week, 12 Years a Slave has been re-released in theaters, and I believe Gravity has been re-released in theaters.
And Captain Phillips is set to come out on DVD Blu-ray next week.
Good timing. And there's a couple other titles which we'll get to in the Blu-ray section. So it's good, you know, getting nominated. Yes, it's a thrill to be nominated. It also adds a little extra bucks.
Yeah.
So is that the only one from the nine you've missed? Mike Perry?
I haven't seen Philomena or Nebraska yet.
Okay.
My wife saw her.
Loved her. Emma and I saw it last week, and it is more than Joaquin Phoenix and a piece of electronics that happens to be voiced by Scarlett Johansson. Thank you very much. No, it is a Spike Jonze film. It has heart, and it gives you a message without beating you over the head about how addicted we are to our electronics and how our electronics makes us separate and more distant than other from actual human beings. And you really should, because your girl Amy Adams is in it too.
Yeah.
You got Amy Adams and Rooney Mara.
Ooh. Okay. I'm sold.
Well, there's two. See,
there's two.
What else can we talk him into?
Well, he already saw American Hustle.
Yeah,
we enjoy that.
I probably will see Nebraska sometime.
Got to do that. Bruce Dern was great. If it weren't for Chiwetel Ejiofor, I think Dern still probably has a runner's chance, and he is a runner. So, so that is out there.
Did All of Lost catch any nominations?
It did for sound. I think it was sound mixing. Yes. What happens is funny. I missed the online screeching that is Who Got Screwed. That happens quite a bit. It'll happen for the schools that don't get into the NCAA tournament.
I think Entertainment Weekly had their list out that afternoon.
Probably. So I was supposed to go to a press screening, and of course the weather was bad, and I wound up not being able to attend. But and that was okay. But yeah, I did miss the immediate online screaming of,
why didn't
fill in the blank? Because apparently Tom Hanks and Emma Thompson. I think Redford was my favorite performance this year. And of course, All Is Lost was my favorite film of this year. So yeah, I'm going to be slightly irked that it didn't make it in. I could see why it didn't. I think they're wrong. You're wrong, Oscars. But,
do we need to go away with the nomination process and go to a playoff like the BCS?
Because that's worked so well. That creates no controversy whatsoever.
There is no bigger rivalry in films than 12 Years a Slave and All Is Lost, bro. That's
when you're talking about great film rivalries, you're really talking about American Hustle and Gravity.
And it'll be hosted by Guy Fieri. And you know what? That tournament would be brotastic.
21-layer bean dip.
Well, I think Gravity is money, man.
But can you have frosted tips in space? I don't know. So, all right.
In space, no one could see your frosted tips.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you saw Alien.
Yeah, I've seen Alien.
Singular and plural.
Singular.
But you have not seen the James Cameron version.
I've not seen Aliens, Alien 3.
After that, you don't really need to.
But Aliens is worth it.
I'm surprised. Yeah, you might want to check out Aliens.
Alien is scary as hell, though.
Yes.
But
you've already gotten accustomed to the creature, so it's more of a character movie than...
And you got butt-whooping Sigourney Weaver in 1986, we say. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, yeah, you should check that out.
Salute.
Wow, salute. Okay, so yeah, so anyway, it's a good list. It's a good list, sure. Except for maybe All Is Lost, and of course I've become old and detached and I drink Haterade where I'm not going to flip out over it. The film critic's not going to have a flip out over something not getting in. Let's go to Best Actor. We have Christian Bale, American Hustle.
Awesome.
Bruce Dern in Nebraska. Leonardo DiCaprio in Wolf of Wall Street.
Awesome.
That was obnoxious. Chiwetel Ejiofor, 12 Years a Slave. And, yes, Matthew McConaughey for Dallas Buyers Club. Strong five. I guess my first thing is, you know, if I wanted Redford in, who do you take out? You know, for me, I probably would have, it could have been either DiCaprio or Bale, because I've seen them, I've seen both of them do better work. Bale's part of a strong ensemble. That's a strong quintet.
Yes.
The American Hustle quintet. See, we tend to mix sports and arts of all kinds here on Film Sociology.
I wasn't angry, but I was surprised that Tom Hanks didn't make it in.
Yeah, that's another one. So who do you
have? Just in his last scene in Captain Phillips should have nailed it for him.
Maybe if they just nominated Tom Hanks in the last scene of Captain Phillips.
The last scene awards.
That sounds like something the Razzies would do. I need you to pull up the Razzies page.
Oh, yes.
We'll get to that in a little bit. So anyway, that's again a strong five. I haven't checked the odds because, you know, if you're gambling on the Oscars, you need help.
Yeah.
But we can say Tom Hanks didn't get an acting award, but he helped somebody get an acting award. And that's in Best Supporting Actor. Barkhad Abdi, who the IFJA also named Best Supporting Actor for Captain Phillips, the head pirate in Captain Phillips. Bradley Cooper.
I'm the captain now.
Yes. Bradley Cooper, American Hustle. Michael Fassbender, 12 Years a Slave, and he kept his clothes on. Jonah Hill, Wolf of Wall Street. Jonah Hill has two Academy Award nominations under his belt.
Yes.
And he's finished 22 Jump Street, too. Mm-hmm. And Jared Leto for Dallas Buyers Club.
Close.
That's a strong five.
Jared Leto got the Golden Globe, so he's got to be considered the front runner.
Could be.
But, yeah.
And Cooper and Fassbender have really good track records. Abdi, because it was kind of, we didn't see that coming.
Right.
And he stood toe to toe with Tom Hanks.
He did.
That's pretty good. And Jonah Hill, you know, he's got one under, and he's able to, you know, when he gets older, he's able to do whatever the heck he wants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he won't be stuck in Superbad or This Is the End. So
I'm waiting for Superbad 2,
oh,
the golden years.
Really?
Still Superbad.
Superbadder.
Superbadder.
However, Kobe, you will only enjoy half of that sequel.
Why is that?
Michael Cera's in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No.
No? Not your...
No.
He's on the list.
But I did like Superbad, though. I did like Superbad.
Well, that was pre-list Michael
Cera?
Yeah,
that was pre-list.
Okay.
Did you see This Is the End?
No.
He gets his. You ought to rent it.
Yeah. Actually, you should. Okay, now I'm getting crap because we went for male lead to male supporting. Now we'll go to the ladies. Sorry.
Save the best for last.
Nice save. Mm-hmm. Amy Adams for American Hustle. Cate Blanchett, Blue Jasmine. Sandra Bullock for Gravity. Judi Dench for Philomena. Meryl Streep for August, Osage County.
We saw August last weekend.
You feel better about your own family, don't you?
Yes. Yes.
And the marketing campaign, dead wrong.
Dead wrong. I was expecting a funnier movie.
No. Well, it is a funnier movie.
It's got its moments.
It's a darker, funnier.
But it's dark.
You know, Mrs. Sosie has seen the play, and people were complaining about the fact that what you normally do with film versions of plays is that you open them up, and that kind of takes off some of the claustrophobia of being stuck with these people.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I have an actress friend who we now, instead of saying hello when we pick up the phone, we now say eat the bleepin' fish.
Bleep.
Yes. So, this could be anybody's. I would say.
Yeah, it could be any one of them.
Bullock, I would say maybe not so much Bullock because she's won before, but I think it's Amy Adams' first leading nomination. Blanchett, I think this is, no, it's not her first leading nomination. And
No.
And then Meryl, probably not, because she's got three already. And Judi Dench, I'm really glad Judy got on here and that Philomena is getting noticed.
Yeah.
It is not, I can't say it that way. We have a kinder, gentler Judi Dench, and that's saying something compared to, I think we're used to her just punching people in the throat. Literally and figuratively.
And telling James Bond what to do.
Yes, exactly. Well, not anymore.
Yeah,
sorry. But... You all right there, Cub?
Yeah, I'm working on getting the
okay, very
list
good.
Here.
Best performance by an actress in a supporting role. Really surprised that she got in. Really happy for it. Sally Hawkins in Blue Jasmine. This makes up for she should have been nominated for Happy Go Lucky a few years ago.
She was the bright moment in that movie for me.
She was the Stella to Cate Blanchett's Blanche.
Yeah.
So Jennifer Lawrence for American Hustle. Don't ever put metal in the science oven. Lupita Nyong'o for 12 Years a Slave, besides having to deal with also standing toe-to-toe with the likes of Chiwetel Ejiofor and Michael Fassbender in a really, really uncomfortable whipping scene. Julia Roberts going really dark in August Osage County. And lift up your skirts, June Squibb in Nebraska. If you've seen Nebraska, you know what I'm talking about.
We'll see Nebraska this weekend, I'm guessing.
My fun piece of trivia, and I didn't know this until a couple weeks ago, because when I saw the film, I'm like, who is this woman? And you go on IMDb, and you're like, oh, well, I saw this since I saw this. So it's really weird that she didn't latch, you know, really stand out as far as a performance, even though I've seen her work. She was one of the original gotta have a gimmick girls in the Broadway production of Gypsy. She had to deal with Ethel Merman on her nightly basis. So so anyway, salute to that.
So she's paid her dues.
She has paid her dues, and she gets to be married to Bruce Dern in a movie. So that's kind of cool. Weak year for animated films. There's only two that really stand out, and they're both nominated. So, of course, that's Frozen and The Wind Rises, the last, what we think is the last Miyazaki film, which will eventually get an American release. Of course, with Disney, it will have English-speaking voices.
Cool.
Although, I've heard one of the voices, Werner Herzog.
Nice.
Which now starts, Herzog should just do more animation work.
See, I thought you were going to say Liam Neeson there for a second.
No, he's, well, now those two could do the Sunshine Boys together. That would be fun. So anyway, Frozen, Wind Rises, The Croods, better than I thought, but, you know, not outstanding. Despicable Me 2.
Which, you know, my nieces love.
It's a good sequel.
I liked the first movie. It was kind of on in the background over Christmas, so I didn't pay attention to
it.
But
it's fun. Necessary? Not really. Will the Minions get their own movie? Maybe. Or their own series?
Or a TV show.
Yeah. So anyway, that was that. And then of course, usually in the animated features, there's like one that's off the beaten path, and I get excited for it, and then I want to go see it, and that's Ernest and Celestine. So don't know anything about it. Of course, didn't play here. And of course, the benefit of getting a nomination is a film like this will get wider exposure. Yep. So we'll be on the lookout for when and if it comes to Indianapolis. Best documentary. Some of the members of the IFJA, we get screeners quite often, and there's been a few films that, especially this year, I felt, because a lot of the press got screeners, that may have helped this particular film get a nomination, or at least get a wider recognition. Like, there's a film called The Grandmaster, which is up for costume design and cinematography, which is a really cool film about the man who would train Bruce Lee. You saw it?
No, I've heard.
You've heard of it. It is probably the best mixture of art and martial arts since Crouching Tiger and Hidden Dragon. That good.
Which I love.
Yeah, it's a great looking film, and it's a cool story. Really happy 20 Feet from Stardom got Best Documentary Feature. I'm a sucker for the music stories, like Searching for Sugar Man and Standing in the Shadows of Motown. I know there's a documentary on Muscle Shoals, which I need to get a hold of. But it's also up against The Square, Dirty Wars, Cutie and the Boxer, which is one that I was alluding to. This is the film that's about an aging Japanese artist living in New York with his wife. They've been married together for decades, and he's still trying to make a living, still, you know, maintaining a living as an artist in New York City, especially when he was part of the A, because it was rated R because of nude art images and not done by Mapplethorpe. So, yeah, that's kind of a dumb rating. And probably the front runner, The Act of Killing. Not a date film. Kobe, because I know you and Fair Sweet Bianca want to see a documentary reuniting political assassins from Indonesia in the 1960s.
Oh, totally.
And then watch Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
That's just, when in doubt, watch Bob's Burgers. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Let's see. The other thing is, we get the online snark that, yes, Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa and The Lone Ranger are now Oscar-nominated films because of the makeup category.
Wow.
See what they did there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wah, wah.
I hope they don't re-release Lone Ranger.
They won't. Is it out on video yet?
I believe it is. I believe it is. Yeah.
Well, good luck on that. Okay, so, and of course, in screenplay categories, which of course will really be the best picture, in original screenplay, American Hustle, Don't Tell Mia Farrow and Her Family, Blue Jasmine, written by Woody Allen, Dallas Buyers Club, Her, and Nebraska. I'm really pushing for Her on that one. And then for adapted screenplay, Before Midnight, Fine Date Film, with Julie Delpy, Ethan Hawke, and Richard Linklater co-writing, Captain Phillips, Philomena, Steve Coogan, now has an Oscar nomination. Way to go. 12 Years a Slave and The Wolf of Wall Street. So there are those. We might get to some more categories a little later on. But the day before the Oscars, the Razzies come out. And Kobe,
yes,
you have that list.
I do.
You do.
Here we go. Worst Picture, After Earth. That's the
Will Smith. Smith family
okay.
film. Yeah.
I thought that was the – oh, no. I'm thinking of Oblivion. That's the Tom Cruise one. That's the same movie.
Yeah,
with less subtext over Scientology and yes. M. Night Shyamalan.
Okay.
Yes.
So we have After Earth, Grown Ups 2, The Lone Ranger, A Madea Christmas, and rounding out Movie 43.
See, I would vote for Movie 43 because I suffered through it, but
I did too.
I think you did see that.
Yeah, I did.
Didn't I tell you not to?
Yeah.
But you did anyway.
That just spurs me on.
But
can it really be this bad?
Yes,
it can.
Like Robert De Niro with Melanie. But you watched it anyway.
Yeah.
Was I right?
Oh yeah.
Yep.
It was,
first scene with
brutal.
Hugh Jackman. You're
yes.
Right.
It's like, how did they get him to do this?
That I don't know. Somebody's got to make a short documentary about how that thing got made. So I wouldn't be surprised if Grown Ups 2 or maybe Lone Ranger. Gets in. And Tyler Perry. He's an easy punching bag.
Yeah, he seems to be a perennial favorite here.
Yeah.
At the
so, all right, who you got?
Continuing on, worst actor, Johnny Depp for The Lone Ranger, Ashton Kutcher for Jobs, Adam Sandler in Grown Ups 2, Jaden Smith, After Earth, and Sylvester Stallone for Bullet to the Head, Escape Plan, and Grudge Match.
Yeah, they do double and triple up front sometimes.
I have to go with Depp in that category, I think.
Because this was really that bad.
Well... I was so disappointed in that movie because it had a pretty good story, but as much as they played up Depp getting in touch with his Native American roots, because I think he's like 156th Cherokee.
He doesn't own a casino either.
And he claimed he really did his homework on this in this role, and to come across with a performance that I would equate with his performance in Dark Shadows. I was just very disappointed in this movie.
The problem
is
with,
that answers my question then. Is it really that bad, or is it that they could have done so much more?
I think they could have done something more with it because for me the problem was I wasn't shocked and that surprised that Johnny Depp was playing an Indian, because if you watch westerns from the 40s, well, even earlier than that, up until the 70s, you had white folks playing Indians. So it was a big deal when Chief Dan George or
Jay Silverheels
was actually playing a Native American. So part of it was that. Part of it was making the Lone Ranger and Tonto into a buddy cop film, making Tonto a smart aleck, which no. And because it's from the director and the producers of Pirates of the Caribbean, they made it look like an amusement park ride than a film. And then you have, and I think this is the reason why it got the nomination for makeup, not because of the black and white painting on Depp's face, but they also used a method of storytelling that The Princess Bride used with the scenes in the museum.
Okay.
So that just added to my irritancy. My irritation. Thank you.
Okay.
You know what? This film was bad enough that I create words. How's that?
You have to make up words to describe this film. That's how bad it is.
Sounds like a George Bush or the irritation. that really bothered me. So, but still not the worst film.
It's not the first worst film ever made.
No.
But it was a big disappointment.
And I started to sound like an old person with Johnny Depp. Like, scrub off the makeup, play a real person, do something normal. I don't sound like, I got a mug of Haterade. I don't need Richard Probst's.
Oh, Richard is a voter on the Razzies.
Yes, he is. We will have to bring him in.
We need to check in with him.
Yeah. And Sir Paul Holmes.
Campaign. Yeah.
Here we go. Worst actress, Halle Berry for Movie 43 and The Call, Selena Gomez on Getaway, Lindsay Lohan for The Canyons, Tyler Perry, A Medea Christmas, and Naomi Watts for Diana and Movie 43.
Probably... Well, Tyler Perry is an easy target.
Yeah.
And probably Lindsay Lohan for The Canyons. That's just that's so not a fun film.
Okay.
That's so not a fun film.
Supporting actress Lady Gaga for Machete Kills.
Oh, jeez.
Selma Hayek, Grown Ups 2. Yeah. Katherine Heigl, The Big Wedding. Kim Kardashian, Tyler Perry's Temptation. She was in that?
Yeah, she was.
Lindsay Lohan, Inappropriate Comedy in Scary Movie 5.
Probably Kardashian. Easy target. Yes, I actually saw Temptation. Confessions of a Marriage Counselor, I think is what it is, and she plays a co-worker. And she, you know who she would fit in is one of Lisa's friends in the room.
Yeah, I'll root for her.
I'm not kidding. I don't know what she does with bonbons, but yeah, her line reading is that bad.
I'll root for Kardashian just so we can see them spoof it on Saturday Night Live.
That's actually like she would show up as if she won Best Supporting Actress. And,
well, you got Nassim Padrad doing
it. See, Lauren, we got the first scene written. You got the first sketch written for you. So
there you go.
Send us $800.
Here you go. Supporting actor Chris Brown for Battle of the Year, Larry the Cable Guy in A Medea Christmas, Taylor Lautner, Grown Ups 2, Will Smith, After Earth, Nick Swardson, Haunted House, Grown Ups 2.
I heard Taylor Lautner wore a Mickey Mantle Yankees jersey.
That's
there, Covey.
So stupid. So stupid. You don't see me walking around in a McGinnis jersey.
Why not?
Because he was before my time.
I love, ladies and gentlemen, Coby Slagle and his sportswear rules.
So you don't wear anything from anybody before you were born.
See, this, yeah, apparently...
What was the movie?
I have this. I love this story. There was the one Taylor Lautner film which he starred in called Abduction.
Abduction.
Directed by John Singleton.
Mm-hmm.
Supporting roles by Sigourney Weaver, Alfred Molina, and Maria Bello. And this is one where he finds out his parents were undercover assassins, and he's on the run. He's constantly running, and, you know, in a completely different film, there's Alfred Molina being stern and yelling things into the phone and to the computers. And anyway, it's filmed in Pittsburgh. Thank you for the tax breaks, Pennsylvania. And there's a scene that happens at what's the Pirates Stadium called now? It's not Three Rivers.
I don't know.
But whenever, you know, wherever the Pirates play, and it's during a ball game, and there's Taylor Lautner in a Clemente jersey. And I remember seeing that, and I think you brought it up to me, Kobe. You're like, did you see the trailer for that? And I said, yeah. And he goes, it looked like Kobe verped. It looked like he just verped in his mouth when he saw it. Yeah, it was like Robert testing the food to be.
No.
So now is this a rule with your generation as a whole, or is this?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
I'll have to look this up. Jersey etiquette.
Yes, jersey etiquette. Well, it's like I go to games now, and there's like little kids walking around. They might be
Jordan jerseys.
So. Well, not that, but the Champion Athletic like replica jerseys from the 90s, and like the old like navy blue Indiana Reggie Miller jerseys.
I see.
I had one of these when I was 8 and 10 years old because Reggie was still playing.
You don't hassle the kids in the
They're obviously their parents' jerseys that have held on to them for all these years.
And they didn't raise them well, apparently.
I don't know. This kid doesn't know who Reggie Miller... Well, maybe he does because he retired in, what, 4 or 5?
Maybe.
Something like that.
You know what?
But he never saw... The point is, the kid never saw Reggie Miller play in that jersey.
I can't wait for you two to have children.
I'd love to have a McGinnis jersey because I love those... Old Pacer uniform.
Oh, with the yellow stripe that comes up, and
I will find a Hansborough onesie. Or, hey, Dad, what's this? You can't put that on, child. So if I wear a tie, first off, I wouldn't wear a tie Cobb, but if, you know, Hank Greenberg, because I'm a lifelong Tigers fan.
I see my baseball history is not as
okay.
Is not as
Greenberg
wide.
Played in the 40s.
Okay, see, yeah,
I can't.
No.
No, I can or no, I can.
No, you cannot.
I cannot.
You cannot.
You do not have permission.
I did not have permission. Oh, I want to do this now. You know what
he's going to be on Amazon as soon as the show's
over. I'm going to look for a Hank Greenberg jersey and fudge.
And we're going to come in on Monday, and it's going to be a great day.
Mark it down, folks. This is where Matt turned into a big bleep.
The Earth will stop its rotation on its axis, and Matt Soucy will be wearing a jersey he has no business wearing.
And bringing in fudge out of season.
Yep, out of season fudge.
I didn't know fudge had a season.
This is the other great... Hi, welcome to Fudge Debate on Film Sociology.
All right, we got 20 minutes.
Kobe claims that people only eat fudge during the Christmas season.
Because you can't find it any other time.
So when we first started this
argument... It is at its most abundant during the holiday season.
Well, I wouldn't argue that.
Thank you.
But you've heard of Fannie Mae, right?
Yes.
And Bernie Mac.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you can acquire fudge all year
round. Oh, I did that. Of course, I waited, and I think until March, and then brought in a tin, and mm-hmm. I just got a look of disgust from...
No, and that's great. I'm just saying...
You ate it, too.
Oh, absolutely. You're not going to give me fudge. As Jarrett Moore says, don't threaten me with a good time.
That sounds like a soul blues tune you hear on the Blues House Party.
Dude, I think Saturday you just became a member of the Fudge of the Month Club now.
Oh, man. See, I would be...
Might I remind you the last time we brought up fudge with you in studio?
Well, but we got rid of the evidence of that.
All right. So we should move on before we get in trouble. That's supporting. Are we at supporting actress?
That was supporting actress.
Oh, that was supporting actress.
Here we go.
Right.
Worst director for the 2014 Razzies. The 13 people who directed movie 43.
That's good.
Dennis Dugan, Grown Ups 2. Ooh. Tyler Perry, A Medea Christmas and Temptation. M. Night Shyamalan, After Earth, and Gore Verbinski, The Lone Ranger.
Ooh.
Well, you hate to bet against M. Night, but
we got that one.
But just to see all those guys have to drag themselves up on stage, I think I'll root for movie 43.
I don't know if they'll be there, but that would be fun. So, yeah, either that or Tyler Perry. That's just easy.
Here we go. Worst screen combo. The entire cast of Grown Ups 2?
Yes.
That's good.
Entire cast of Movie 43.
That's just easy.
Lohan and Sheen in Scary Movie 5.
Because they're both kind of has-beens.
Crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, this is a good one. Tyler Perry and either Larry the Cable Guy or that worn-out wig and dress.
That's both. That's both.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And?
Where's
that at?
Jaden Smith and Will Smith on Planet Nepotism. After.
Yes, got it.
Yes. Worst screenplay, After Earth, Grown Ups 2, Lone Ranger, Madea, Movie 43.
Grown Ups 2.
Grown Ups 2.
I haven't seen it, but I know.
I haven't seen it, but I've seen the first one.
I wish Dennis Dugan would film my vacations with my friends.
Yes.
Worst remake, ripoff, or sequel, Grown Ups 2, Hangover 3, Lone Ranger, Scary 5, Smurfs 2.
I saw Hangover 3.
Man,
that's a bad lot right there.
That's a dead heat
that's
there.
That's 10 hours of suck right there. Jeez.
But of those five, who takes it?
Grown Ups 2.
Yeah.
Grown Ups 2, yeah.
Okay.
The most unnecessary movie ever made.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, your 2014 Razzie nominations.
Wow. Okay, we go to Facebook for a little bit, and I posted, you know, who were you most or least happy about in the nominations? David from Indianapolis says, super disappointed that The Act of Killing didn't get Best Picture or Foreign Film. Interesting. I guess it's a documentary. Since it's a documentary, they decided it wasn't worthy of being listed as a nominee. Now, I remember when Mr. Moore, I think, tried to get Fahrenheit 9/11 into the Best Picture category.
Oh,
so,
man.
Well, I get it,
yeah.
And there have been foreign films. Of course, Z was nominated. The Artist won, and of course, animated films have been nominated for Best Picture. Mm-hmm. But documentaries quite hasn't gotten over the hump on that one yet. Gary from Louisville, not Gary from Evanston,
says, Gary from Evanston.
That's Joe from Evanston. glad to see Matthew McConaughey get a nomination for Dallas Buyers Club. It's a great performance. I think he deserves it. Kudos to Louisville's own Jennifer Lawrence for her nomination. I hope she gets to collect some more hardware, too.
Cool.
And maybe some Oscars. Mm-hmm. She just goes into goes into the hardware store and gets some wrenches and tools. And
I need a set of sockets today.
That's right. And David from Williamsport, I'm glad Chiwetel Ejiofor got nominated. I told my film lit class if he didn't get a nomination, I'd quit teaching. Whew. Gravity also deserves all the love it's receiving. So very good, David. Thank you.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Chiwetel, besides being the guy, because the first thing I saw him in was...
Well, he's been around a while.
Dirty Pretty Things with Audrey Tautou. Mm-hmm. So, and he's been solid. He has been absolutely solid in everything. You know, so the fact that he's getting that. He also gets the... We finally get to pronounce his name. I call this the Pete Postlewaite nomination because you're like, how do you say that? So... Well, actually, grab somebody's forecast. Sorry about that. So, yeah, I'm really, really excited about that.
Mostly cloudy with a chance of eating snow showers.
And a chance of meatballs.
Low around 10. Wind chill values near zero.
Okay.
And there's your weather.
Thank you.
He was in Four Brothers.
Yes, he was. He was the villain in Four Brothers, which I really liked.
Man, I haven't seen
also
that.
Directed by John Singleton. That was
long time.
Mark Wahlberg and the dude from Outkast. And it was like a ghetto version of The Sons of Katie Elder. I know you'll recognize that one. So
I have.
So of course, Mark Wahlberg is John Wayne.
Well, no,
he's no John Wayne, but it's not a bad. You know, it is Detroit Potboiler. You're going through the IMDb.
Yeah. Look, because I thought
even something like Salt. Salt was one that you know.
And for you Firefly fans, he was the villain in Serenity.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So, okay. So while you're going through his IMDb file. There's a number of titles on Blu-ray and a DVD this week. Some of these are benefiting from the nominations this week. Well, some were actually hoping it was a film that I actually found surprisingly decent, and you don't see that on the poster campaign. Riddick. Speaking of films that are westerns, this happens to be a western in space.
A space western?
A space western. And because once it gets to, because there's a lot of Vin Diesel wandering the desert planet, and then he gets captured, and when he's captured by these bad guys, not space banditos.
Are they space bad guys?
They could be space bad guys in space. And the aliens come and attack where they're staying. So there's a little Rio Bravo or Assault on Precinct 13, depending on what age you're in. Film I found underrated from last year, the remake of Carrie.
Yep.
Only because of the performances and less voyeuristic than, say, Mr. De Palma's version. But and except for the very, very beginning and the very, very end, I think they handled the material very
pretty
well.
Pretty solid remake.
Really solid
as
remake.
Far as remakes go.
Yep.
Still prefer the original, but...
Yes, and Kobe will see neither one of those.
You are right.
That's a shame. Film, of course, now some people are saying this film got snubbed. I don't think it did. Lee Daniels, the butler. Butler Gump. So...
Yeah, I don't think it got snubbed.
Yeah, because who do you take off? Who do you replace Forrest Whitaker? And who do you replace Oprah Winfrey? I didn't think so. Mm-hmm. Another film that probably got, some folks are saying it got snubbed. I think it did, but it's, again, it's, if there were 10 categories, 10 nominees in each category, and also the film that came out too early, it came out in August, but Fruitvale Station, which I really, really liked. Michael B. Jordan plays the kid. Octavia Spencer plays his mother. She also was a producer on the film. Very strong, very powerful. Also came out in August. Enough Said. I know a couple of people were hoping Gandolfini would get a posthumous release.
We loved Enough Said.
Yeah, and it's a grown-up romantic comedy.
Yes.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus, James Gandolfini, Catherine Keener. Go see it. It's get a chance on that. And, of course, one of the documentaries that's up for Best Documentary, 20 Feet from Stardom. So go check that out. Especially if you're a film music lover, Mr. Slagle. You will recognize these ladies' voices and all the songs they back, even if you don't like the music.
Yes.
White rock of the 70s. you know, these are the ladies behind Lou Reed and Bruce Springsteen and the Rolling Stones and David Bowie, and it's very, very cool. Now, old titles. We have Buffalo 66, if you're into Vincent Gallo, kidnapping Christina Ricci. Mm. Mike Perry is not. It's not The Brown Bunny.
Thank God.
Yes, bad, bad film. The original In the Heat of the Night from 1967, mm-hmm. Best Picture winner, Best Actor for Rod Steiger.
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
And what is called the slap heard round the world. There is a, there, do you know, I'm getting a blank wall
no.
from this. It's a southern pot boiler. there's a murder in a small southern town, and Sidney Poitier is you don't find this out until about, what, 5-10 minutes into the film. He's a police officer from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, who is hassled by the local police, and then when they find out that he is a police officer, he's kind of nudged by the sheriff, played by a gun and gum chomping Rod Steiger. Oh man, and helps out in the investigation, but there's a scene at a old rich white person's house where he decides to stand toe to toe, and the white man slaps Poitier, and Poitier slaps him right back, and many people, and there was a documentary on the DVD called The Slap Heard Around the World, that people in the movie theaters lost their minds when that happened, in a good way. So that is also out there. Richard Attenborough's film version of A Chorus Line. Anybody who's in musical theater knows that's not necessary. Too many close-ups in a dance movie. I'm sorry. And then Criterion has two heist movies. Potboilers. One is Rafifi, which I still need to watch from start to finish. I've only seen bits and pieces of it. And that's famous for having a long, like, 30-minute sequence with no dialogue, because it's them pulling off the job. And something that I'm really glad came out on Blu-ray, and it's got a nice cleanup and a nice transfer, and I'm going to be talking about the music, actually, on the Blues House Party tomorrow, but Michael Mann's feature film debut, Thief.
Yeah.
So this is the film he did after Jericho Mile. James Caan, Tuesday Weld, James Belushi's first film, Willie Nelson in an early role, and Robert Prosky's first film. Classic that guy, or in your case, Kobe, that old guy.
Vintage guy.
But it's, and of course, as you see in later Michael Mann films, the attention to detail. Of course, he created the series and the film Miami Vice, Heat, Public Enemies, so on and so forth. And James Caan plays a car salesman who is also a master thief, and he winds up getting into working for a crime lord played by Robert Prosky. And the music originally was supposed to be an all-blues soundtrack because it's shot in Chicago in 1979, 1980. And there's a little bit of music, but it wound up being the second film with music done by Tangerine Dream.
Oh, man.
Anybody remember the first film they worked on? I know you don't.
No.
No. William Friedkin's Sorcerer.
Yeah.
No. Which is a film that still needs to come out on Criterion really fast. It was, first off, it's a remake of The Wages of Fear, which is a great film. And the big ad campaign was, and Roy Scheider was in it, where they're taking nitroglycerin and they're having to drive through the rainforest in South America. And in the poster was a truck on a drawbridge, but a wooden bridge on ropes. So, the studio, Universal, decided since it's from the director of The Exorcist, they called it Sorcerer, which had nothing to do with the film itself. Anyway, Tangerine Dream does the music, so very electronic. Also, this was a film that was, for a lot of people, the introduction of wetting the city streets whenever possible, because it looks cool. So anyway, that is out. But yeah, there's a couple of cameos. There's a cameo by the Mighty Joe Young Blues Band, who I got to see way back when. And there's one scene where James Caan is walking on Lake Michigan, and there's an old guy fishing, and it's Willie Dixon. So very, very cool. But yeah, really, thank you, Criterion, because they do really good work with cleaning up fine noted art films, and that's one of them. All right, Kobe.
Yes.
What's going on at your alma mater?
Alma mater tonight. 6:30, The Punk Singer, documentary from last year.
Okay.
Tomorrow, 3 o'clock, foreign language drama from 1974, The Traveler.
Uh-huh.
6:30, in the Art and Legacy of Roger Corman series.
Nice.
Raging Bull.
Yay! Woo!
Follow that up, 9:30, from 1972, Boxcar Bertha.
Scorsese film.
Ooh.
David Carradine and young Barbara Hershey.
Was she Hershey in this film, or was she Siegel?
No, she was Hershey.
Okay.
She was Hershey in that one. That was Scorsese's film for Corman before he did Mean Streets. Yeah, I think you need Raging Bull, Mr. Slagle.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Sunday, 3 o'clock, George Kuchar's Weather Diaries.
How do you spell that? Kuchar.
K-U-C-H-A-R.
Okay, just checking.
And Lenny Cook, 6:30.
All right. And, of course, don't forget, 7 o'clock at the IMA is Father Goose. So,
also,
yes.
One more.
Yes.
Monday, the 20th. President's Choice.
Oh, but he's got an interesting choice.
Yes, he does. We had, I think we had The Song Remains the Same.
Yep, yes, he did.
We had The Wall once.
What's this?
We had,
Is he bringing back The Room?
No. I think we had Schindler's List.
He's all over the map in a good way.
From 1960, Rocco and His Brothers.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Foreign language drama, 7 p.m. Monday night.
Okay. Can we get to, one of Chris Lloyd's favorite sound clips.
Oh, Chris Lloyd's favorite sound clips?
Well, not besides your watching film sociology.
Oh, doing our the annual show of dead people we like.
there's a pretty big one this
we
week.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Yes.
Okay, we have a couple, and I'm really glad Mike Perry's here in general. But this is something that happens every now and then, is when a TV actor dies, I always go and find out what movies they worked on.
Yeah.
So we start with Russell Johnson.
Do 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 do
do. If there was a show here on HGTV called TV Sociology, Mike would host it.
Yes,
so.
I would.
That, we're not suggesting that it might happen, but
we'll check with the kid. Do you know who Russell Johnson is?
No idea.
The professor from Gilligan's Island. Mm-mm. Never watched.
You haven't seen Gilligan's Island, have you?
No, that was Nick at Night material when I was like 9.
A tiny one. Yeah. Okay, you were too busy watching Pacers basketball, so you wear the jersey, right?
The professor was a straight man on the island.
And well, let's be the 1 millionth person to say he could make a phone with coconuts, but he couldn't build a boat.
Yeah.
So I looked through the course. The first two things I noticed were sci-fi films, one of which was profiled in Mystery Science Theater, The Movie.
The Movie?
Remember the movie, yeah, that came out in 97? They did the Universal film, This Island Earth.
Right.
This is the one with the guys with the giant foreheads and the white hair. They look like
Johnson does in that picture.
Or Roger Sterling, yeah. If he had Down syndrome. Sorry, folks. But I remember Russell Johnson's first entrance in the film, and the riff was, "What's this all the rest crap?" See, it's a quip on the show. Sorry.
Yeah.
He also appeared in the film It Came from Outer Space, and such sagas as the Tumbleweed, The Stand at Apache River, Johnny Dark, Many Rivers the Cross, now the Jimmy Cliff tune, Strange Lady in Town, Mon Pa Kettle at Waikiki.
Wow.
He was in a Mon Pa Kettle movie. Wow.
And they went to Hawaii?
Apparently. So take that, Brady Bunch. Okay. Bad Man's Country, The Saga of Hemp Brown, Courage of Black Beauty. Man. And then he did, of course, a lot of TV in the 60s and 70s. So
a lot of Westerns.
He was a scribe in The Greatest Story Ever Told. Strange. So we thank you for that. But also passing away, and I hate to say it, but I thought both these guys were already dead. But we had Russell Johnson. We also have Dave Madden.
Yeah.
Who was Reuben Kincaid on The Partridge Family. And going through, and I didn't know this, but he was the voice of the Ram in the original animated Charlotte's Web.
Really?
From 1960. Yeah.
The one with Debbie Reynolds?
Debbie Reynolds and, yeah, Pam Ferdin, yeah, and Paul Lynn. So, yeah. So there's your trivia for the day. Maybe you can talk somebody into buying you a beer with that. He was also Big Bubba Jones in Eat My Dust with Ron Howard.
And he spent a year or two on Laugh-In.
Yeah, he was one of the early guys in Laugh-In.
And grew up in Terre Haute.
There you go. So thanks for all the TV time, guys. We appreciate it. Salute. Loot. All right. I think we have some words to live by.
The greatest people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Mike, thank you for hanging out.
No problem.
Now we have to make sure we ask you on an official capacity.
That's all right.
Go see a good movie. Go see an Oscar-nominated movie. They're out there. You have no excuse. You deserve it. And we deserve it. And hope to see you tonight at the IMA. If you say it's a real show, you'll get a prize package. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
We gone. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.